All yours.
Thank you. All right, welcome to another exciting edition of the Hyperledger Technical Steering Committee. Following the Hyper Emergency Powers to Act of Hyperledger, I am stepping in as the vice chair today because Arnaud is unavailable. This is Dan Middleton. And so for agenda today, we've got an announcement or two, and then we're going to have a discussion about some Ethereum-related topics, which should be interesting, including a proposal from Sean Young. And then time remaining, we can get a discussion started, at least, on some of the long-term agenda that we want to do for the rest of this incarnation of the TSC. There's also a quarterly report. I don't know if we will be discussing that in detail. I didn't see anything of anything that really might warrant a lot of discussion. So let's go ahead and jump into it then. I see Min is online. Min, would you like to talk about what you've got listed there for the mentorship?
Sure. Thanks, Dan. Sorry, my voice is still a little bit strained coming out of a cold. But just really quickly, I'm looking for 10 volunteers to review this year's mentorship project proposals. Originally, we're planning to close the project proposal submission this Friday, but thinking we have the global forum next week, it will be a great opportunity for the staff and the community to promote our mentorship program. So we're extending the deadline to Sunday next week, so March the 8th. Regardless, we need to form this a subcommittee to review the project proposals. We have funding for 18 projects this year. So far, we've received 12. So I'm anticipating that we'll receive probably more than 18. So primarily, the subcommittee will be reviewing the proposals that we receive, making sure you know these are quality projects, they're clearly scoped, suitable you know for a mentee to work on, and also you know it's advancing Hyperledger technologies. So I posted the link to the review process and criteria under in the announcement section. So I already received, I know Angelo, you already said that you will be, would love to participate. So I'm looking for, you know, 8 or 9 more people. So just let me know by email. So I posted my email address there by March 5th to participate in this this subcommittee. Any questions? Just to give you context, last year we funded 17 projects. We received 27 proposals. So the committee went through the 27 proposals, you know, had to select the top 17 out of the 27 proposals that we received to fund. So this year I'm anticipating we'll probably receive, you know, a similar number of proposals. So we'll need to have the committee go through the proposals. It should be pretty lightweight because the proposals are, it's a templated format. Take a look at the proposal details and select the 18 that that we think are worthwhile to fund.
Okay. Thanks, Min. So if anybody has any questions about that later, you can see Min's email on there and you can reach out to her as well. Thanks. A related announcement that did not get added to the page yet, but maybe I can do that after the fact, is we have a mentor session next week at Global Forum, and we're still looking for mentors to attend that. So that's as the Global Forum kicks off on Tuesday morning. We've got interested, new contributors or mentees signed up to get a little bit of coaching from experienced people in the community. And so we're looking for some volunteers to help do that mentoring. And we can get a link put on to the agenda later for that. So you'll have that to reference. But we are about 4 or 5 heads short of what we need to make that a successful session. So we're looking for help with that. Brian, with Global Forum starting next week, is there anything else that we'd like to interject at this point?
No, just that there's a lot of great content. There's 124, something like that, speakers across 85 different sessions. I don't know if anyone hasn't, still on the bubble about coming. Please do if you can. We're all geared up and excited about it. Nothing else I can think of to mention other than that it's looking good.
Okay, great. Well, look forward to seeing a lot of you in Arizona next week. I know for where I live, that'll be a nice change in weather for me. Maybe for some of you as well. All right, I see Bob is on the line. Mr. Summerwill, would you like to take us into the wonderful world of Ethereum-flavored WASM and some of the impact that implies for the Ethereum community and maybe how that might help us grow things within Hyperledger?
Hello, yes, I absolutely can. Hi, for anyone who doesn't know me, my name is Bob Somerville. I am currently the executive director of the Ethereum Classic Cooperative, but I've been part of the broader Ethereum ecosystem for 5 years now, heavily involved with the start of the Enterprise Ethereum Alliance, and have been a Hyperledger fan and supporter for many years. The situation that you really have on Ethereum is, the core of Ethereum is the Ethereum virtual machine. This concept of a gas limited general virtual machine. Solidity is by far the most popular of the smart contract languages targeting the EVM. But you have historically had other languages as well. Viper is about the second most popular language now, a Python-based alternative. Where WebAssembly and specifically eWASM come in is that there has been this effort over the past, goodness, perhaps three or more years now, looking at the option of replacing the Ethereum virtual machine with an augmented WebAssembly, really based on the observation that at the time the Ethereum project started, there wasn't a good off-the-shelf alternative which met the sort of deterministic VM needs that the project was looking for. WebAssembly started shortly afterwards, and the observation was that if you augmented the code generation for WebAssembly with sort of wrapping quite equivalent really to exception handling for adding the gas counting, that you could target WebAssembly for execution of smart contracts. And that relying on the work of Microsoft and Google and Mozilla and so on might have higher quality than things that we could do ourselves. So anyway, there's been a single primary compiler for Solidity through all that time, the SOLSI compiler, which is maintained by the Ethereum Foundation. But what we have going on, both with Solang, but also with another project called Sol, SOLL, is we're seeing the beginnings of alternate Solidity compilers initially, but that those toolings can really become part of richer compiler sets, all really built around LLVM. So for anyone who doesn't know, LLVM is the basis of a large chunk of compiler technology in the world right now. The whole of the Objective-C ecosystem, Clang C++ compiler, the primary Rust compiler, the Swift compiler, all of those are built around LLVM. And I think really maybe the analogy here is that SOLSI, you could think of that as sort of like being GCC era you know, that you're in the 1980s and GCC is your only option. You really don't have a lot of rich tooling. You're doing sort of printf debugging, and errors are core dumps. That was sort of the era that we were coming from. And what you really see with these newer approaches is things equivalent to the appearance of Clang and LLVM. So anyway, I've been brokering dialogue over the last several months here between groups within this emergent paradigm. So you have Sol, which is a Solidity compiler written in C++ LLVM, which comes with an EWASM backend, but there is an optional EVM backend there, which is maintained by ETC Core, which has just recently come to an alpha state. So what they have on that code base is they have ERC20 token sort of compilation where the generated bytecode is live on the Ethereum and ETC mainnet, you know. So you have a sort of an alpha. Actually, that was last October. That was. It's further on to alpha now. So you really have a state where for constrained set of use cases, you know, you have a viable alternate compiler there, which can be used live on Ethereum or ETC. Or for an EWASM backend targeting Ethereum 2. Also on Sean's side, you have Solang, you know, a similar kind of approach, but using a Rust implementation with LLVM, with a WASM backend, though targeting different flavors of WASM, originally aimed at Hyperledger Burrow, but also now supporting Substrate from Parity Technologies, and supporting Sabre, which is the WASM backend for Burrow, and also supporting EWASM from Ethereum 2. What you have with the LLVM EVM backend, which Alan Lee at ETC Core Labs have been supporting, is what you've really got there is an alternate code generation backend for LLVM targeting EVM in the same way as you would target x86 or ARM or WASM or MIPS or whatever you have. And the intention there is to actually ultimately get that work upstreamed into proper LLVM, so that you have official support for EVM as a you know, as a first class backend. So that's the long term intention for that. But yeah, I mean, I guess the long and short of it is that there's a goodly number of projects happening here, and I've gathered those together as well into a Telegram group where we have representation from each of these different teams, also from the Viper team, from Consensus Diligence, one of whom is the de facto maintainer of the Solidity Grammar, rootstock trail of bits, and so on. There's lots of stuff going on. That's the long and short of it.
Great, thanks for that background, Bob. Could you say a little bit more about the timelines involved, if there's any sort of consensus on the adoption of bytecode into any of the flavors of Ethereum, kind of the time horizon that you see that happening?
Adoption of which, sorry?
Of WebAssembly bytecode.
Well, so the thing to say about WebAssembly on the Ethereum side is that is an Ethereum 2 feature. Now, when and how Ethereum 2 is actually going to happen is a matter of constant debate. You know, it seems to be perennially on an 18 months away timeline. The Beacon chain, which is phase one of the Ethereum 2 deployment, is slated for later this year. But beyond that initial beacon chain phase, you have phases in which shards are added as phase one, and then phase two is the inclusion of execution environments, EWASM being one of those. So the timeline for EWASM within Ethereum is probably 18 months or so away still.
Okay, thanks.
But just the thing which can definitely happen and will happen earlier is if you have an EVM backend to one of these new toolings, you know, you have an alternate Solidity compiler which can be used with Ethereum 1 or ETC. And to me, that's one of the most exciting elements, because it really gets us beyond having a sort of a single compiler as the monopoly on that language. You know, there isn't a proper governance around how the Ethereum language is defined and updated and so on. So that's sort of a missing piece, which I think can happen ahead of anything on the EWASM line.
Bob, just a quick question. What is the delta between EWASM and standard WASM right now? And what is the likelihood that EWASM support will actually get upstreamed into LLVM?
The EWASM support be upstreamed?
Yes, isn't that what you said earlier, right?
No. What I said earlier was EVM.
Oh, got it. Okay, sorry. What's the difference between what's the delta between WASM and EWASM then?
It's insertion of gas counting. So you know the key feature that you have within the Ethereum virtual machine is this gas mechanism, where particular opcodes have costs. And you know, gas is the limitation on computation. So, where within smart contracts, you only have a pseudo Turing completeness because of the halting problem. You know, you don't want smart contracts that can go into infinite loops or so on, because those are a denial of service vector. So the denial of service attack. Factor. So what you have with the gas counting is essentially, you know, you're on the clock for your opcodes, and if you run out of gas, then you know the thing is aborted. So then that's the difference that you have between WebAssembly and EWASM, is when you're doing the code generation for an EWASM execution, it's going to be inserting these gas counting elements around the blocks. Which really are quite analogous to something like exception handling, you know, that you're adding this kind of commit rollback block handling.
But this doesn't require a rewrite or anything of the backend support, right? This is just calling extern.
It's just that.
Yes, let me interject here. Gas cost is counted by the virtual machine, not an LLVM does not insert gas counting instructions. There's no special support needed in LLVM. The gas count is done by the virtual machine.
Right.
If it was done in LLVM instructions, it would be very easy to cheat.
Yeah. And that was sort of my second question was, I know we've been in the work we're doing with WASM right now. We're providing a bunch of optimized native code routines. We're not using WASI, but for the interfaces, but that's largely because of the people who are writing the WASM support for us. Are there stock packages that are going along with the EWASM EVM for native acceleration of operations? And are those being provided?
In terms of...
Are there certain... like certain cryptographic routines, right? I don't really want to run those. Yes, I can compile my JSON parser and my crypto routines as WASM bytecode, but it's horribly slow. So in most cases, we're providing native functions that can be invoked for accelerated access to crypto routines? Is there a stock package that goes along with the Solidity, EWASM, EVM support here?
There's so in EWASM, there are a set of functions available to the EWASM environment, like get block hash, store contract
right.
store.
Okay. Yep.
But none of those, there are no crypto functions. So the crypto functions will have to be
implemented as the WASM bytecode.
Yes, exactly. So okay. This is also what I'm doing in Solang. I have some C code, gets compiled.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But I mean, that doesn't stop. So one of the nice things about starting to work with WASM, and I mean, take for me, the close example is obviously Burrow, but we have a set of, we call them natives, and it's entirely possible to support the core set of WASM, EWASM, externs, and add your own. So like the EVM has actually kind of weirdly, it has two concepts. It has precompiles that include a few cryptographic functions. For example, there's some elliptic curve stuff that got added more recently. And it also has opcodes for things like SHA, which really ought to have been precompiles. But you can do something entirely analogous to precompiles and WASM. And I guess part of the purpose of bringing something like Solang into Hyperledger and or to work with other compilers is to try and standardize what the syscalls effectively right. that you have available to you. So you definitely want to do yeah. what you're describing.
The natives package, having a standard yep. stock natives package would be an incredibly helpful thing for many projects that way. Thanks.
The one thing to do point out though is that EWASM has near native performance. So doing crypto in EWASM isn't as bad as it would be in EVM.
Are you assuming jitted code on the back end on the interpretation? Or are you just suggesting that the bytecode really is that efficient?
Well, the bytecode is really that efficient. The question is of course, how the gas costs for the opcodes relate.
Okay.
What about side channel attack resistance?
Yeah, that's an interesting question.
Yeah, it feels to me like probably, I mean, for that and other reasons, that it would make sense to have some set of natives available for some of the, you know, to get some core constant time crypto stuff.
Okay. So I think that's probably a good switching point here, so we can go step into Sean's proposal itself, and we can continue some of this dialogue within the context of that proposal. Sean, would you like to display that yourself, or would you like us to just bring that up from the link there?
Oh, maybe the project proposal would be, yes, that would be great. Thank you. Okay, so I've written down a few notes.
Oh, and thanks again, Bob, for bringing some context to that.
Yes, thank you, Bob. Okay, so the kind of the background, much I'll try to cut out all the bits that Bob covered. So the Sol-C compiler isn't particularly open to contributions. I've tried in the past and failed. It's a very large C++ code base, which has a handwritten parser and a compiler backend. And the compiler backend includes optimizing compiler parses. So writing a backend compiler is a very hard thing to do. A good compiler backend is one of those great feats of engineering, and PhDs and papers are still being written on that subject. So Sol-C targets EVM. EWASM is work in progress. And because they have to write a new backend, this is taking time. And I assume once the Solidity, the Sol-C EWASM backend works.
Sean, it might be useful to people if you could just explain the how front ends and back ends work with LLVM for some who might not be familiar with it.
Okay, right. Okay, so the front end of the compiler parses the source code, does a resolution of all the symbols, and then generates an intermediate language The intermediate language is then read by the backend, and the backend generates the code for that particular target. So that be it x86, WebAssembly, EVM, one of those. So Solang and Sol are both front-end compilers. They do the parsing and resolution of Solidity, and then generate LLVM IR. So that's an intermediate language between the front-end and the back-end of the compiler. So Solang uses LLVM for code gen, has a generated parser. It's written in Rust, so it uses modern tooling. Full Solidity language support will be ready in fall. It's funded through a Web Free Foundation grant, and that grant means that there's a particular roadmap which has to be met in order to receive the grant. Hence, language support will be ready in fall, else the grant won't. That's needed for the grant. So, Solang runs at the moment on the command line. It reads. It compiles source code to optimize WebAssembly and generates the ABI files. WebAssembly is as discussed, as a standard. There are ledger-specific interfaces for contract storage, accessing call data, block hash, etc. So depending on which target Solang is compiling for, there might be different language features available, which just depend on what the underlying ledger supports. So that's the short term. The long term, what Solang would want to be is like a Solidity toolkit. We need we need various things to have a great developer experience. So we need a language server so that in an IDE you get syntax highlighting, you can hover over symbols and it will tell you what they are. This needs to sort of parse and resolve as you type. A playground and a debugger, like Remix, needs to be implemented. We might need a sort of Clippy style hint system or linter, which will tell you that calculating the length of a list and then comparing to zero is inefficient, and is empty or so might be more efficient. We might want to do static analysis. So in static analysis, you need a different IR. You need to know variable lifetimes, references to back references to symbols. So for these things, there needs to be a common access to Solidity representations. So earlier there was discussion about YARL versus LLVM IR. That's useful between front-end compilers and back-end compilers, but that's not useful for many other things we want to do. So a language server has no use for YARL or LLVM IR representation because much of the symbol information is already lost. So Solang wants to be a set of libraries and tools to access symbol information and IR information of Solidity. So then with those tools in place, those libraries in place, we can implement all those tools I just discussed. Lastly, I wanted to say that whilst implementing Solang, using Rust has been actually very good. So in Rust, you have enums and you can use match and iterate. So you can actually access a specific representation of the IR very easily in a single line of code. So the language is very expressive, and this really helps for writing this type of code. I think that's it. Any questions?
So let's say we've got several projects that are interested in using WebAssembly for different things. For them to benefit in some way from this project, would they also need to have a primary interest in Solidity? I guess a different way to say this is, if you're not using Solidity, are there benefits that this project still provides?
It would be a, if a project would want to have support for a different language, so say Viper or another language, there are many sort of examples of there are many ideas about smart contract languages, of what those languages should look like. So this would be a great example of how to implement a smart contract compiler, and much of it can be reused. So you need an ABI encoder, decoder, you need to deal with contract storage and abstracting that over different ledgers. So this would be a great example of how to implement a smart contract language, and parts of it could be reused to implement that.
I could also give an example here that kind of motivates a lot of my interest in Solang and some of the early discussions that sort of led to Sean getting started on this. So we have a very large Solidity code base that implements a business process engine and has a lot of hairy bits. What we'd really like to do is, we've been a lot of value tied up in that code, and it's not going away anytime soon, but sometimes for, you know, the basics that EVM and Solidity are pretty bad at, like string manipulation and other things that no one would ever want. It would be nice if we could use another language, whether that's a smart contract domain specific language or Rust or whatever. And we started thinking about, well, you know, WASM. So we have a WASM, which is partially experimental feature that's in Varo now. What Solang would allow us to do would be to target our existing Solidity code to WASM. And then within Varo, there's a mechanism for cross-engine calls. Well, we wouldn't even need the cross-engine calls there, but we could call in, the idea would be that we could call into other WASM code that was compiled with the same system target in there, so the same syscalls, so that we could start to incrementally introduce and mix rewrites of some of that Solidity code base, and all have it coexist in a single WASM runtime. So that's how I was thinking of using this.
Thanks. I think that helps illustrate a little bit more breadth there. Okay, other questions for Sean while we have him on the line here?
So I think in previous meetings we have discussed the lack of maintainer diversity to become a project. Is that a sticking point here, or are we going to review that at some point?
I think we want to always be a little bit balanced between having a requirement that in order to become an active project, you have that diversity, and seeing at a stage here where a project is proposed that there's a path to get there, versus demonstrating that you started with it already. And there's probably also a bit of a modulation of what we would expect to see for a proposal if the scope of that proposal is a tool versus a platform or something like that. So with that said, I'm getting an echo from someone, but with that said, I am wondering what kind of features or adjustments to the proposal might help draw in other stakeholders so that we do have a good, healthy start at a multi-vendor basis for maintainers.
Well, I think one question, which was going to be my follow-up question, would be, I think the majority of the people on this call are from Hyperledger. How do we see adoption of this outside of Hyperledger? Do we expect anyone outside of Hyperledger would adopt this code and use it as well?
Solang certainly wants to compete with the Solidity component itself. So once SolC gets EWASM support, it has its own compiler backend and it does not use LLVM. And LVM is a state-of-the-art a compiler backend. It will be very competitive. So there is a real chance here.
Yeah, and I suppose the dependency here is on the, as Bob pointed out, the it's always 18 months away. You could have that on a plaque. So there is a hold up there. Like this compiler would, you know, provided development continues well, it very likely can wipe the floor with the Solse compiler for Ethereum usage. But that's not really going to come on stream until the EWASM support is there. Bob mentions the EVM LLVM backend. I mean, that is still pretty early. So I mean, you referenced the ERC20 contracts. Like, they are not the most complicated Solidity target. It's good that they can be compiled, but for general purpose, Solidity compilation, the author of that backend is saying that it's not yet competitive with Solse. So I don't know what the timeline on that. Basically, that either you'd need a Ethereum, you know, greater interest in Ethereum EWASM. There are testnets doing EWASM stuff now, so that would drive some adoption. Or as a kind of transitionary period, if that backend could get good enough and be integrated with Solang, then you could see some adoption there from outside of Hyperledger.
Some of the future features that you've got listed there are maybe in the IDE space or related to what you would see in an IDE kind of tool. Have you thought about overlap with other tools like Ganache? I feel like maybe that was on the mail list somewhere.
Oh, I missed that.
I don't remember if it was or I just imagined that. But anyway, just general reaction to the idea that maybe there's another development partner out there in that space.
Well, for some of these tools, there's quite a bit of code to be written. For others, there's less work. So any cooperation, any sort of integration with existing tooling can only help. I haven't given Ganache much thought, to be fair.
Okay, it's something to mull in the coming days here.
Yes.
I mean, beyond, let me just switch my device.
Bob, we lost you if you were planning to pick that up where you left it off.
Hello, sorry, I'm back.
Okay.
Hello?
We've got you. Go ahead.
Okay, sorry, yeah. Beyond Solang, within this larger group that I'm gathering with more general interest, we've got tools vendors, we've got people looking at formal verification of grammars. We've got multiple different languages. We've got teams really who are, so for example, the rootstock. So, you know, rootstock have got their Ethereum virtual machine on top of the Bitcoin chain, and they've been making obviously heavy use of the EVM as well. So, I mean, I think from my perspective, most of the interest I'm seeing is really about the EVM itself, in that you've had this situation for Ethereum where the EVM has been kind of like under-maintained and very unloved really since about 2017, based on this eternal premise of the coming soon, you know, Ethereum 2 EWASM pairing. What I think I'm seeing the interest from a lot of this group are seeing that that having the option of alternate Solidity compilers really kind of busts open that monopoly, and it opens up the door for doing very basic incremental improvements in the EVM, which have been held up for 2 or 3 years, you know, such as adding support for opcodes for subroutines, looking at static jumps. There's another, adding SIMD instructions.
Can I chime in a bit on that?
You can.
So, in Allcore Devs, which is the call that governs a lot of the mainnet stuff, one of the things that's probably going to be coming in Berlin is subroutines. There's still work going on in improving the EVM. Some of my EIPs that I've submitted are works to improve that. The big problem, however, that mainnet's dealing with that almost dominates all performance discussion is dealing with the size of the state tree that they have for the mainnet contracts. And that is, you know, just such an overwhelming thing that, you know, looking at optimizations doesn't matter if you're going to still spend 80% of your time reading your state from disk. So that's part of the reason why EVM improvements have really escaped the interest of the core developers, is because it's, you know, by two orders of magnitude, state tree has been more of the problem.
There's nothing that the virtual machine can do about the state tree problem.
Nope.
So one of the reasons that Solang targets WASM rather than EVM is because WASM has a much bigger community, better tooling. You can compile standard C to WASM and then link it. So if you want to implement your own crypto in WASM, that's perfectly possible. In EVM, that would result in code which is highly inefficient because it's hard to access memory by bytes, for example. So moving from WASM offers a whole suite of new options which are not available with EVM. It would leapfrog a whole set of problems. So for Hyperledger projects, they would use WASM and not EVM.
I think, so another perspective in terms of, like, I don't know whether, like, how to put this more strategically, say, for Hyperledger projects, and why I think, or the ways in which I think that Hyperledger projects ought to be thinking about making use of Solidity. So projects that have integrated Burrow so far kind of seen it as, oh, well, Solidity is this other option, which if you're not interested in some sense in public Ethereum, Solidity is probably a slightly curious option. I mean, it has some advantages around it. It's got the built-in address worldview, if you want that, and that makes a certain amount of sense. But where I think this gets interesting is if other Hyperledger projects want to move in a direction where they have some kind of connectivity in the sort of layer two scaling sense with Ethereum, come and run your sidechain, your semi-public sidechain, your scaling chain on Fabric, Sawtooth, Aroha, or whatever, it's actually... We shouldn't just be thinking about Solidity as a language option, but providing state compatibility, function level compatibility, so that you can ship code, you know, maintain a kind of single logical code base that maybe you have some bank contract on mainline Ethereum, but you're running some dispute resolution stuff that is on a sidechain that you can then escalate. Like it's actually being able to run that same Solidity code, and you could be running that in a WASM environment on other chains. But I think there's a kind of missing a trick really if it doesn't move us in towards some kind of public Ethereum connectivity, not just a language option, which is not that interesting in itself.
I have to agree. I think a set of common host functions that we could plug in this execution environment into any of the other DLTs would move the smart contract space immensely forward. That's what I think is most interesting about Hyperledger moving into the WASM space, is it gives us a great opportunity to standardize what that would look like across DLTs.
Yes, I agree. I've been implementing targets in Solang, and there's huge the different host functions look very different on the different ledgers, and by combining those or seeing all of those in one project, it's possible to see that a common set is possible and will benefit everyone.
I mean, Sean, if Solang gets a few more maintainers and gets some success, would you see it as like mission creep to support other languages using the same smart contract model?
No, not at all. I hope, and the way I've written it is that a large part can be reused. The first parser stage would obviously have to be replaced. But much hopefully can be reused and make language a new language support easier.
To my mind, that's a key feature really of looking at LLVM as a base, is that the whole framework is really built for suites of compiler tools. It's not necessarily a complete, switchable back and front ends perfect pattern, but you really have got a situation where having alternate languages while sharing, many parts of the pipelines is a key factor you get out of this. I see Solidity really as sort of being like the C, a sort of stage. That we're at here is an initial kind of like de facto standard language, but it's not necessarily the safest or the best, or what you're really going to want many people to be using longer term. I think DSLs are really going to be like ruling the roost down the line. Having a mature framework that you've got these things on is certainly going to be the best basis for moving towards that world over time.
Okay, and I think we'll leave it there. So we've got next week off for further discussion on this point, but a lot of us will be face-to-face in Arizona, so hopefully some more discussions can take place there. And then it'll be the following week that we return for a TSC meeting where we could resume this discussion and see if, as we approach that date, whether we put this back on for a vote at that stage or further discussion.
Real quickly, Sean and Bob, will either of you be at the Global Forum?
Hi, this is Sean. Yes, I will be there. I'm in Las Vegas now, so yes.
So I sadly will not be there, but somebody who will be there is Michael from Second State, who are the developers of the Sol tool as well. So I'm really hoping that he and Sean can meet, and that also that Second State can talk about potential contribution of their code base into Hyperledger as well. I'm really thinking that labs can be a place where we can do collaboration across all of these tools.
Cool. Yeah. No, I was wondering we could do like a birds of a feather thing potentially. So.
I was just going to flag that there is one on the books. I think Sean put it on or somebody did. But yeah, have a look on the birds of feather. There's a WASM table. So hopefully we can all meet up there.
I created one on. Smart contract languages and WASM.
Perfect.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, we've got two last topics on the agenda for today. One is the Transact update. I see there's one written piece of feedback there that can be addressed offline. If there's any quick questions, we could hit that, or I know Mark's been hanging out here on the call. If there was anything that you wanted to point out urgently, Mark, and if not, we can switch to the other topic.
Yeah, not in particular, Dan. I mean, I think the report speaks for itself, and I did see Mark's comment about the looking for more detailed numbers.
Yeah, and it's just a general comment for actually all projects. You know, when you say no change from last month or whatever, then people have to actually go off and look and see where if you just, you know, cut and paste from last month or whatever, last quarter, then we have it. It's a lot of projects to review.
Yep, understood.
Okay, so let's go ahead and jump into the long-term agenda topic. As anticipated, we really only have a few minutes to go through this, but wanted to at least start some discussion so that we've got a more more directed series of agendas for the remainder of the session of the TSC. We asked the architecture group with kind of little notice to help prime us for this, but Mick was able to generate some notes from their meeting yesterday. And I don't know if people have had an opportunity to read that, but that is linked within this new topic. And that is a good read to have some difficult questions there that we should be pursuing. So I think given the limited amount of time that we have today, one thing that we can still accomplish here is just to kind of run through the TSC members and get some initial reaction to this direction of thought generally. Excuse me. So as the, I'm gonna have to break for a drink here just a sec.
Sorry, I'll break the fourth wall while you're taking a drink of water. And I just wanna say to the TSC, I really appreciate that you're taking a look at all this stuff today. This is awesome.
Thanks for that interlude for me. I think I still might lose my voice here. Hopefully I get it back for next week. So I guess to get through and for TSC members, if you've had some thought to think about what kind of questions that we could do, with the initial goal being let's frame out the big pieces, the direction that we want to explore, and not so much worry about can we define that direction today. What other sorts of questions would we want to add to this list?
I think one of the things based on mixed mail, my interpretation of it is we need a stronger like architecture working group. We seem to spin up these cross-platform projects without really taking into account when we do, you know, it's like, here's our interface, you can use it or walk away. It's not, let's figure out how we can start this thing and have a common interface for everyone to use that fits into, you know, multiple platforms. My view, anyways. I don't know if others feel the same way, but that limits adoption, so.
Yeah, and I think that also pulls out one of the ideas that I wanted to get some reaction to is, can we bring the scope that we had originally given in the architecture working group, can we bring some of that back into these TSC discussions? And is there interest in us doing that?
I would at least point out that I'm not sure that there was much of an original scope on that. It's always been sort of a descriptive group for the most part on it. But just to second Mark's comment is that given the inertia in the existing projects, that it's always cheaper and easier to take what you have, even if it's just good enough, that without some sense of strong encouragement from the TSC or some other organization, adoption of sort of common modules broadly across the projects is going to be extremely difficult. That's just the pragmatics of we all do what we do and we know what we know. And it's hard to look at something that we don't know that somebody else is controlling and be dependent upon it.
I think that's an important point, Mick. Thanks for highlighting that further, Mick. The how these projects are funded and how they're driven has implications that are hard for us to work in a way that's orthogonal to that. Okay, so we are unfortunately down to the last minute here. So thanks for getting us started on this, and we can bring this up at our next TSC session. And again, a lot of discussion opportunities next week. Look forward to seeing all of you that will be there. And if you won't be there, I'm sure there will be a lot of things being echoed back on mail lists and chat forums, and look for any other sorts of interesting updates that we might percolate back out to the TSC in the following week. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Dan.